What exactly are the Buffalo Bills getting in running back Damian Harris? I studied his tape, and I'm ready to talk about it today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino, author of Go Bills and Buffalo's Run, also the co-host of the Locked On NFL Scouting Podcast, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. I want to thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day, and please be sure to subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. Well, folks, today we are going to talk about new Buffalo Bills running back Damian Harris. So in segment one, I will present him to you. I studied him this morning. I'm ready to talk all about his skill set. Then in segment two, we're going to talk to Mike DeBate, the host of Locked On Patriots, for his opinions and insight on Damian Harris from his four seasons covering him with New England. And then to close out the podcast, there's a bunch of players that used to be on the Bills that are now on other teams like Isaiah McKenzie and Devin Singletary and Jaquan Johnson. So I want to talk about that, plus the addition or the re-signing, if you will, of David Questenberry and the overall picture here with this offensive line. So let's start with my presentation on Damian Harris, who signed a one-year $1.7 million deal with the Buffalo Bills. He's 26 years old. He just turned 26 back in February. Was a third-round pick by the Patriots in 2019, number 87 overall, out of Alabama, where he was a productive four-year player for the Crimson Tide. He shared the backfield with Derrick Henry as a freshman and then was Alabama's primary ball carrier for the next three seasons and had three consecutive seasons of over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. So then he goes to the Patriots again, pick 87 in the draft, was mostly a healthy scratch as a rookie in 2019. Then in 2020, he was the Patriots' leading rusher. That was the Cam Newton year where they had him at quarterback. He played in 10 games, did spend some time on IR for a broken finger, and then again later in the season for a back injury. Then in 2021, it was really his best season. Again, the Patriots' leading rusher, over 1,000 yards from scrimmage, 15 rushing touchdowns. Did miss a game due to a concussion. And then last year, his final season with the Patriots, he played in 11 games, had 462 rushing yards. And this was really the year that Ramondre Stevenson took over the backfield for New England. And Harris lost some opportunity to Stevenson, but he also missed some time again due to injury. Had a hamstring injury early in the season and then a thigh injury later on. As far as his verified measurements, he's 5'101", so 5'10 and 1/8, 216 pounds with 9 3/4 inch hands. So he's got a stocky build, a dense build, which I particularly like in running backs. As for his athletic testing, a 4.57 40-yard dash, 37-inch vertical jump, 121-inch broad jump, and 16 bench press reps. His RAS score is 6.36, which is average. Now, to compare his RAS score to other running backs that you know well, Devin Singletary, his RAS was a 1.66. Very poor. And then James Cook is an 8.76. And so Harris isn't necessarily an elite athlete at the position, but he's a much better athlete than Devin Singletary, but obviously not quite to a James Cook. As for what I gathered from watching his tape this morning, his best traits are pretty clear. I think he's an easy player to get a read on. He hits the hole with conviction. He's a physical and powerful runner. Definitely a guy that keeps his feet moving through contact and is going to bring it for four quarters when he touches the football. I think he has very clean vision, a decisive runner. He keeps his pads square, and he's a leveraged guy. He's got that dense build and really packs a punch when he explodes into contact. But You know, the Patriots have run primarily a gap running scheme, and I think he sees it very cleanly. He's very decisive. You don't get a lot of wasted movement here with how he attacks the line of scrimmage. And I think he sees it well and makes good, quick decisions with the football in his hands. He's smooth through his cuts. I think he's a good anticipatory runner in space. Balanced, good contact balance. So balanced when he's making his moves and as a runner, but also through contact, you see a lot of balance with him. So if you're big on vision, contact balance, you're going to get that here in Damian Harris, and obviously a physical, violent style that he embraces. He's used to a gap scheme, like I mentioned, which the Bills have been pretty multiple with their run schemes, but it feels like they continue to find themselves leaning more into gap. As much as they want to run zone, they keep going back to gap schemes. And I think one of the good things about that for Damian Harris and projecting him to the Bills is he's very used to pullers. A lot of lead blocks, trap blocks, pin and pull type stuff with the Patriots that I think will again be prevalent for him with the Buffalo Bills, and a lot of athleticism for the Bills offensive line that I think can really be an asset to a player like Damian Harris as they get those guys moving and try to introduce extra gaps and really throw off the math for defenses with a really powerful guy in Damian Harris behind it. He can catch the ball a little bit. I wouldn't say he's an overly dynamic receiving threat, but as a check down option, he has baseline ability as a pass catcher. So when it comes to concerns, I think it starts with the injuries. There's been nagging stuff. You know, he missed six games in 2020, two in 2021, six more in 2022. So he's missed 14 games over the last three seasons, which is a pretty good amount. So that's something to be mindful of, especially when you consider the type of runner that he is. Now, one thing I'll say about the Bills is they've done a pretty good job of keeping their backs healthy, and they're going to want to really probably work a rotation here and use all the different skill sets that they have to complement each other. And so I think Damian Harris may have come to a good spot for him to really preserve himself and be healthy. And hopefully that winds up being the case for the Bills next year. I'd say he's more smooth than sudden, not necessarily a knock on him, but he's a grinded out back that you won't confuse as this explosive, elusive type player. And I think that's okay because the Bills have that, which is a big difference from the way it's been in the past. But the Bills had the explosive, elusive pass catchers, guys that can really get out in space. What they didn't have is a player like Damian Harris. The receiving profile, like I mentioned, is pretty modest. He's not going to be a huge part of what you're going to do in the passing game. You're not really going to want to have him run dynamic routes. He's more of a check down option. But I think the Bills are a great opportunity for Damian Harris. It's not lost on me that he didn't have much of a market, right? That's something that I'm mindful of. A guy that's had a pretty good career, a season with 15 rushing touchdowns, hits free agency and signs a one-year, $1.7 million deal. I mean, Devin Singletary got it like three times that. So that's something to be mindful of. As a running back that's going to be a depth player for you potentially, has not really had special teams contributions. He's almost played zero special team snaps in the NFL. He had five in 2018, and that's it. None in 19, 20, or 21. And then going back to Alabama, he had some work on the punt and punt return teams, but that's about it. A very, very small special teams background when it comes to Damian Harris. But overall, I think this is a complimentary back that the Bills needed. He has the skills that the Bills were missing, and he's missing the skills that the Bills had. Short yardage, late in games, grinding out tough yards, complimenting James Cook and Nyheim Hines. I think this is exactly the type of back the Bills needed to add. And I think he's in line for at least 100 touches. So he's going to see the field. He's going to get some opportunity here. And that's just touching the football. And I think he'll be a big-time asset in pass protection. He's really good in pass pro, very good at processing, and he's a physical back that's willing to step forward and absorb rushers and keep the quarterback clean. So in all the ways that the Bills needed to find help in the backfield, short yardage, power, downhill ability, pass protection, they got it in the form of Damian Harris. In just a moment, I'm going to get Mike DeBate's take on Damian Harris after covering him with the New England Patriots. But first, I need to tell you about FanDuel. The tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained, and there's simply no better sportsbook to place your bets than FanDuel. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I'm joined now by Mike DeBate, the host of the Locked On Patriots podcast. You guys know him. We do two crossover episodes a year, sometimes three. And, of course, Mike has plenty of expertise on new Bills running back, former Patriot Damian Harris. So, Mike, thanks for giving us some of your time here today, and looking forward to getting your thoughts.
Oh, absolutely, Joe. Always an honor and always a privilege for me to join the Locked On Bills podcast. And if I can be of any assistance in lending some wisdom and counsel on Damian Harris, all for it.
Well, let's do that. Take us back to 2019 when the Patriots made Damian Harris the 87th pick in the draft. That's a third rounder. What were those expectations for him entering the team? And I know that we're looking at this through the lens of Patriots and running backs. We know that it's typically a committee. So how did he fit in and what were kind of the expectations?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of surprise initially when Damian was chosen with that type of draft capital. Look, there's no denying the talent. His time in Alabama proved that he was going to be a top flight pro, or at least someone that could have an opportunity to compete to be a top flight pro. But I was in the Patriots media room when they drafted him in 2019, and I can tell you it was a little surprising. The Patriots already had on staff at that time Sony Michel, James White, Rex Burkhead, James Devlin was the fullback out of the backfield. Jakob Johnson was even on the team, and Brandon Bolden in the running back room. So a lot of people were wondering, what are the Patriots doing here bringing in this kid when they already have a stacked room? But it was undeniable when he hit the practice field and you started to see what he was capable of. The Patriots clearly had a beat on him. Started off slow in New England, as running backs typically do. Bill Belichick typically redshirts these guys, gives them the opportunity to learn the offense. And then once they do, they're able to take the ball and run with it. Literally, that's exactly what Damian Harris did.
Mike, that sounds like a warning about Pierre Strong next year. He had his redshirt year. He's ready to take off. I'd be interesting to watch him. But let's keep it on Damian Harris. Don't let me sidetrack like that. You reminded me of some names there in 2019 that I forgot were all in that room, which makes it even more surprising that they made him the pick there. And, of course, his entire rookie season, he's basically a healthy scratch. It makes sense why. But then the production really ramps up in 2020, and then his best season in 2021, 1,000 yards from scrimmage, good amount of receiving production, 15 rushing touchdowns. What led to that spike, kind of that ascension from healthy scratch as a rookie to, you know, a really solid season in 2021?
Yeah, I think it's as simple as opportunity, Joe. I think the Patriots finally gave him the opportunity to run with the ball. Sony Michel obviously was on the trading block. That wasn't working out in a situation that the Patriots wanted to continue on with that relationship. And that really is no disrespect to Sony at all. I mean, there was a good solid running core there with him, but New England Patriots running backs often have a very short shelf life, and that's exactly what happened. It was Damian's time to prove that he could get the job done on the field, not only doing it on the ground, rushing for 959 yards and 211 carries, also caught 19 passes for 139 yards that year as well. So he enjoyed success on both sides of the coin offensively and proved that he could be a dual threat when you needed him to be. Unquestionably, he was the top running back in the Patriots room in that season.
Well, you mentioned unquestionably the top running back in the Patriots room in 2021, but not last year. 2022 is all about this guy, Ramondre Stevenson, looks like a real stud for the New England Patriots. And so kind of curious what your thoughts are there in terms of Stevenson kind of taking command of that backfield in 2022 after Harris is coming off the season that he had in 2021. I know there were some injuries along the way, but were you surprised to see such a sudden shift, or is this just the dynamics, like you talked about, of the running back position in New England?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I was a little bit surprised to see Ramondre take that step this quickly after a rookie season that showed some promise, but coming in and actually being able to put that on the field and really put it into play was huge for him. And he carried the ball extremely well, 1,040 yards, 5 touchdowns, averaging 5 yards per carry, catching 69 passes yeah. for 421 yards. So this guy was doing it all. He was essentially their only option for a while there at the running back position. But again, it comes down to availability and opportunity. And Ramondre Stevenson had both in 2022. And that's why you saw a little bit of a statistical dip for Damian Harris in the final year of his rookie deal. Hamstring, thigh injuries, definitely a question. That lessened his productivity. But when he's on the field, he still proved that there is a lot to like between the tackles. There's a lot to like in a straightforward runner and in a pinch. A backfield receiver in Damian Harris. This guy's still got a lot left in the tank.
Mike, I know the Patriots are pretty choosy with who they pay, right? And so I want to ask you this, like, why don't you think Damian Harris was in the cards? We don't know the full deal yet for the Bills, just a one-year contract. I imagine it's not too expensive, but was it about just the Patriots and their team building dynamics that they cling to, or is this, all right, this is Ramondre Stevenson's backfield. We have some other young guys that it's time for them to get the opportunity, and we're comfortable with Harris moving on. Like, what are your thoughts on why he wasn't retained?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, it's going to be the question of the underlying question of the offseason for the New England Patriots. Obviously, everybody's focusing on all the other moves that the Pats are making, looking at the running back room as being stacked. But when you look at what this team actually still has on the roster, they've got Ramondre at the top of the list. This is his backfield. You're right on that. But you mentioned Pierre Strong earlier, also Kevin Harris. They also have the dynamic of now adding a veteran like James Robinson into the mix, who has been prolific in his opportunities that he's been given. Hasn't quite been the same player since the injury that he had a couple of years ago in Jacksonville. Obviously, just not a good fit in New York. They're looking maybe to see if he can come in and add a little bit more reception out of the backfield, I think, to kind of shore up that team. But I think they look at what they have in Ramondre, and then the combination of speed and straightforward toughness that they get in Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris, and realize that one of these guys is going to be up pretty soon for, you know, a rookie deal. I think New England just looks at the dynamic and they believe that Damian probably was able to go and chase a deal that the Patriots weren't willing to give at this point. I don't think it was dissatisfaction with the player. I just think it was giving him an opportunity to go and to shine and get a little bit more than the Patriots were able to offer this time around.
Mike, I probably should have asked this a lot sooner in our conversation, but like, can you break down the skill set for us? I know we've seen a good amount of Damian Harris, and he's had some good games against the Bills. we're all fully aware of those. So, from your experience, you've watched more Damian Harris than me for sure. What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses from your time watching him with the Patriots?
Well, his strength, obviously, I think his best strength is his tenacity. This is a kid that does not quit on a run and does not quit on a play. He'll give you everything that he has. And there are times where I've seen Damian apparently stopped cold, you know, dead right at the, you know, the line of scrimmage or behind it, and still is able to grit out and grind out and get some yardage because this kid just does not give up. So if there is a real trait that I think Buffalo Bills fans are going to love about this kid, is that he will give you everything he's got on every down. If Josh Allen is looking to hand the ball off to Damian Harris, you can bet that he's going to give you everything he can to get yardage. He's a very good, you know, straightforward runner. I think you'll see him get a lot of carries on early downs. I also believe that in a pinch, he can be a guy that can receive out of the backfield and be a third down threat. If the Bills are looking for similar production that they got out of Devin Singletary when it comes to receiving out of the backfield, that's not Damian Harris's game. I mean, that's something he can do, but it's not his focal point. This is a good between the tackles runner that will give you an opportunity, and he can hit holes as well as anyone I've covered during my tenure here in New England. In terms of weaknesses, Joe, but Bills fans are going to be happy to hear me say this, not a whole lot of logistical weakness in Damian Harris's game. He pretty much does everything pretty well or adequately at the very worst. When it comes to what he can do on a football field, it's just going to be whether the injuries that he suffered the last couple of years continue to take their toll. If he's available, he does have the ability to be a solid number one option in this offense.
You didn't mention pass protection. I was kind of hoping you would. I didn't want to prompt you, but can you give us any quick analysis on what type of value he brought on passing downs as a pass blocker, which is something the Bills really kind of need?
Yeah, he does bring it in this level, and did bring it all of last season, especially with someone like Ramondre Stevenson taking the focal point on offense and being an integral part of the offensive skill positions. Damian definitely was a big factor in the pass protection blocking as well. Something that was, I think, lacking in the Patriots game last year, especially with the jettisoning of N'Keal Harry. It's amazing that I'm talking about the Patriots missing N'Keal Harry as a part of their offense, but he was a very good run blocker and did chip in pass protection at times. Damian certainly took that. This kid's got the toughness, and he's got the ground ability to be able to withstand that. So I think it's something that he'll really, really help the Bills offense in as well. Great question.
Mike, the Bills running back before Damian Harris was part of the mix was James Cook, Nyheim Hines, two shiftier backs, a lot of receiving ability, speed, but what was missing was the downhill presence, somebody that can win in short yardage, somebody that can win in pass protection. In so many ways, it feels like Damian Harris checks that box for Buffalo, but given your familiarity with Damian Harris, and of course your familiarity with the Buffalo Bills, they're in the division, you see him a ton, we talk about him a ton. Your quick general thoughts on projecting him to Buffalo.
Projecting him to Buffalo, I think he definitely has the opportunity to be the feature back in this offense. And that's saying a lot when you're looking at a passing game that's as prolific as what the Bills bring to the table. To have a complementary running game only makes them even more lethal. So I think Damian Harris definitely provides upside. No disrespect to Devin Singletary, who I thought was a good fit here, but I think you're getting a much better early down runner and someone that can give you a few yards right off the bat, taking pressure off Josh Allen, maybe even allowing him to not have to extend as many plays with his legs. As dynamic and as great as he is at it, and I know Bills fans love watching him do it, the years definitely catch up with you no matter what. Josh is still a very young quarterback, but you're going to absolutely need to watch that in future years. And you've got a running back now that can take some of the pressure off. So that's where I project with him. If the Bills decide that they wanted to add another running back, maybe for a little more prowess on third down, a veteran, wouldn't surprise me. And I think it probably would be a good move for them. But this kid definitely can carry the load. And if the Bills go into 2023 with Damian Harris penciled in as their feature, I think they're doing something pretty good here. This was a very good signing for the Bills. I loved covering Damian and his energy, Joe. And that's another thing that I want to bring to Bills fans. He is one of the most energetic and one of the most positive guys in that locker room. Patriots fans loved him. His teammates loved him here. You can definitely bet he's going to bring that infectious attitude with him to Buffalo and to Western New York.
Well, sounds like a good fit for, in so many ways, exactly what the Bills needed in their backfield. But Mike, I want to say this, don't get it twisted. We hold our breath every time Josh Allen takes a hit and we say, get up, Josh. All right. So we're keenly aware of how that goes as well here on the Bills side of things. Mike, I appreciate you giving us some of your time and sharing your expertise on your time covering Damian Harris.
Always, my friend. My honor, my pleasure.
The Buffalo Bills re-signed David Quessenberry, plus Devin Singletary, Isaiah McKenzie, and Jaquan Johnson all have new teams. We're talking about all of that right after a quick break. All right, folks, let's talk Quessenberry, Singletary, McKenzie, and Johnson real quick as we close out today's podcast. And I want to start with David Quessenberry, who's back with the Bills on a one-year deal. And I want to give you my read on the Bills' offensive line situation, and maybe you won't like this, but I think this is what's happening. The Bills have a starting offensive line of Deion Dawkins, Connor McGovern, Mitch Morse, Ryan Bates, and Spencer Brown. I think they look at that as their starting five offensive linemen. And they're all signed for this year, of course, and they're all under contract for next year at least as well. And that's something to be mindful of. Now, when it comes to your reserves, you've got Tommy Doyle, you've got David Quessenberry, and you've got Ike Bucker. Ike Bucker can play center, and you also have Bates, Morse, and McGovern that can play center. So you have four different guys that can play center. Tommy Doyle and David Quessenberry, I think, are four whole backups. where they could play both tackle spots and both guard spots. It wouldn't surprise me if those eight, Dawkins, McGovern, Morse, Bates, Brown, Bakker, Doyle, Questenberry, are your preferred game day active players. Now you have room for one more player. You'll probably roster nine offensive linemen. But if you're thinking that starter upgrades are coming, I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is the group. Again, a young piece added to the mix makes a lot of sense in the draft. It may be some veteran competition, all that type of stuff that Brandon Bean typically finds. But I have a feeling the Bills offensive line personnel is a little more close to being finalized than maybe some people wish it were. And David Questenberry can be your swing tackle and, again, play both guard spots. And I know that he didn't showcase himself that well when he had opportunities to play this past season. And part of that, I feel bad for him because he had to try to play with a hurt ankle. So he's trying to step in for players that are injured and prove himself, and he's hurt himself, right? That's tough. But obviously the Bills saw enough last year to want to bring him back. So I'm interested to see how this goes, but I think it could just be one draft pick that makes the team, and that's your nine. All right, let's talk about Bills players in new places. We'll get to Devin Singletary first. So the Bills lose Damian Harris. They lose Devin Singletary. They sign Damian Harris. Devin Singletary goes to the Houston Texans on a one-year, $3.75 million deal. I'm happy for Devin Singletary. I thought the dynamics of the offseason, whether it was the other free agent running backs, the running back draft class, all of that was not going to be helpful for Devin to really maximize his value. But I think he goes to a good spot in Houston, where Damian Pierce was a rookie last year and was their lead back, but he's a really violent runner, a guy that really never carried the load at Florida and looked really good for Houston this past year. But his style of running is going to lend itself to injuries. And say what you want about Devin Singletary, that guy was dependable, was never hurt, was always available. It really strung together four good seasons, in my opinion. And so I think there's going to be good opportunity to complement Damian Pierce, potentially start some games. If Damian Pierce is hurt, I think he'll be an asset to Damian Pierce. So I think it's a good spot for Devin Singletary. And especially after they added Shaq Mason to their offensive line. So they got some pieces there with Laremy Tunsil, who's the highest paid tackle in the game, Shaq Mason, Questenberry's back. You know, they drafted Kenyon Green in the top 15 last year to be their left guard. And then Titus Howard, who's a player that was a first-round pick that they've re-signed. So their offensive line looks to be pretty solid. Now, obviously, they're probably going to draft a quarterback with the number two pick in the draft and all those dynamics. But I think Singletary did himself a solid here, and hopefully he can parlay that into a bigger deal next offseason. I think another player that made a good choice with their destination is Isaiah McKenzie going to the Indianapolis Colts. I think that's a great opportunity. First of all, looking at their existing receivers, Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce are their top two guys. Paris Campbell left, and I think he went to the Giants, if I'm not mistaken. And so there's a wide open opportunity to be the number three receiver there for an offense that has a creative head coach in Shane Steichen, who came over from the Eagles, that I think will find ways to get McKenzie the football. So I think it's a good opportunity for him to produce, have a role, and latch on with a team that has a big-time need for a player like him. So hopefully that goes well for McKenzie with the Colts, and then Jaquan Johnson, now a Las Vegas Raider. Now, the Raiders, their starters are defined at safety with Marcus Epps, who they just paid to come over from the Eagles, and then Trayvon Merrick, who was a nice draft pick for them a few years ago, that looks like he's going to be a stud. So their starters are defined, not that we really ever thought Jaquan Johnson would go somewhere else and start, but I think what's important for him is that his path to the roster is very clear, because after those two guys, it's pretty wide open. And their defensive coordinator, Patrick Graham, comes off the Bill Belichick tree. You know, they love safeties. You know, they're going to roster at least four, probably five, maybe six. So Jaquan Johnson has a really good path to that roster to provide depth and do what he does in terms of special teams. So I think all three of these guys found good landing spots. I thought Tremaine found a great landing spot with the Bears, obviously, and Case Keenum getting a chance to end his career in Houston, his hometown, is awesome for him too. So I think all the guys that have moved on went to good spots for them, and I think the opportunity and situations will be really strong. And I mean, no reason not to root for these players. I certainly don't have any ill will towards any of them. So I hope they do well. And I think these are all great opportunities for them. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I know I posted this a little bit early, but I didn't have any reason to wait. I had the podcast done. I know they signed Trent Sherfield and Damian Harris pretty close back to back and wanted to give full episodes to those players. And so I know that our posting's a little irregular right now, but the news is moving fast. If I got the content done, I'm not going to sit on it. I want you guys to be able to have it and consume it at your convenience. So hopefully you don't mind me getting out of rhythm a little bit, but I wanted to get this out there for you as soon as possible because you never know when the next bit of news is going to come through, and I want to be ready for it. So there you have it. We'll be back again for you tomorrow, of course, talking Buffalo Bills football right here on Locked On Bills. So make sure that you're subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Go Bills. Have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.